go again. You found us. It's winning at life. This is the Daily Wrap. We do it every evening at 7. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. You're listening to Live Financial Talk Radio.
I'm your co-host, James Parker, coming up on the show today. Did history continue to plot its course forward in the markets? Meaning, did we break another record? You'll find out in the numbers segment. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I would say I'm tired of telling you, but I'm not. I'll probably tell you again tomorrow. We're going to be doing a live show tomorrow. You're not invited. No offense. It's just sold out. Pasta and Puccini. What a cool little event there, but we'll let you know how to still participate in some way. I want to start off talking about our next live event coming up November 2nd, the Women Only event. And what's exceptional about this is going to combine the most socializing of our traits in previous events, because we have noticed that when we have women-only events in the past, that they're more social. They talk to each other more. They talk to us more. People are doing a lot more meeting of strangers and just chitty chat. It's a lot more friendly and cheerful when it's women only. Not this isn't a slide against guys, but you know, we all got to put on our game face and be serious and be tough. Well, women just have more fun. However, in our last Gregory Ricks live event, we've mixed in a wine pairing. Gregory has introduced his hobby, his passion, in a hobbyist form. And we're just kind of intertwining that into the financial education part of the event and having a little more fun with it. Well, now we're going to do both. We're going to do the wine pairing and women only. And this should be pretty cool. Sorry, guys, you're not invited to this one either. I'm not trying to sound so exclusive, but it sounds like our live event tomorrow, our live broadcast tomorrow, you're not invited to that. The next live event, only women are invited to that. We're not really one of those velvet rope kind of clubs, although it kind of sounds like that every once in a while. Gregory's been studying up, though, doing a little bit more wine homework, and that must be tough, because now if you're going to be a top-seeded wine amateur, that means you've got to drink wine on an almost daily basis just to keep up your skills and keep up your palate. That's the sacrifices you make, man. That's a tough one.
Oh, I had an individual come in to the office today, learn some things from this fella. Madero? Do I have the community right? I'm going to look it up here real quick. He told me he goes to Italy every year. To wine country.
To Italian wine country.
Yeah, so, Ben, I've been over there before, not every year. In fact, I've only been there once a couple years ago. Let's see, where is that?
Well, you want to hear what a hayseed I am. I thought the whole Italian countryside was wine country. In most of the peninsula.
Darn it, let me... How come this is not up here? GPS. Oh, it's Google Maps.
What do you got? That's what I have. You got 29 tabs open.
No, I closed those 29 tabs earlier. I actually have 6 open right now, so I guess that's the problem. I don't have enough. Verona.
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, is where he talks about this festival being in April. And it goes for 4 days. And he thought you had to be in the wine business or something to that effect. And he asked somebody over there. And he said, oh, he said, because he asked, can you get me into that? He says, I don't need to get you. You just got to buy a ticket. They let you in. He says, there's so many wines there. And he says, they pour a solid 3 ounces for the tasting. And he says, you know, when you're getting 3 ounces and you're tasting a lot of wines, he says, you're going to have to stop. Think about it. And he said it's 100 miles north of Florence. So I thought it would have been in Tuscany, but it's above that area as well, if I'm looking at the map right.
Yeah, so... There's Florence. Florence is in Tuscany. So what?
Do you see Madeira? I'm sorry, Verona.
There's Verona. Yeah, it's 100 miles north. It's about 50 miles north of Bologna. I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it in Italy, but that's how I'm pronouncing it over here, Bologna. It's about 60 miles east of Milan, 40 miles west of Venice. Man, you forget how small this country is. You go all the way across this country in like 200, 300 miles. That's it.
Yeah, it's not some giant place,
all right,
you know.
There's Medina.
I think Massachusetts might can compete with it in a war, you know, if it was between those two, you know.
There's Medina. There's Mantua. They're close to Verona. Is that what you were thinking of before Verona, or was that it?
Oh, I don't know, but you know what? And he said it's in April. I'll have to get with him about more details, but it was a great conversation we had about money and wine and such. And he's a big fan of Napa and
the show
Sonoma, and yeah, regular listener to the show. So it was, you know, some of these conversations are just, you really have a good time when you're talking about things that we have in common, like wine and then about the show and then about making money. Did we tell them how to sign up for the event, the ladies? Did we get to all that, or did we drop off to the wine here from that?
Well, we got intercepted by wine pretty quick.
Yeah, well, that happens when you have some good wine. But that was somebody that was at the last event that got to do the food pairing with the wine or wine with the food, and he just had a great time at that event and wants some of our help. Anyhow.
How'd you get started in for wine as a hobby?
Started with a box of wine a long time ago.
You started in a box, and hey, look, that says a lot that you can admit it.
And white at that, you know, the sweeter. And then as I learned more, I said, oh, there is something about that. Friends don't let friends drink white.
Or drink white Zinfandel. That's
yeah,
it's a bad sign.
So it is just learning, and then getting to do some trips to wine country here in the United States. Mainly that'd be Napa, Sonoma, over in California. A lot more regions than just that. The Russian River, you know, and then you go up above that to Washington and all. There's some great wines up there, and it's not just Northern California. You can go to Southern. And there's other regions in the U.S., but it's just learning about that and then learning how it's grown, you know, and then you're wanting to know more about it. And then, you know, what's a good wine? And then learning that, you know, I don't need expensive stuff. I just need the cheap stuff, you know, $10, $15, what? $25. And now I don't even want to buy a bottle if it doesn't cost $25. And, yeah, I also look at price, and I'm probably going to pay more because I know I'm getting a better wine. And some people will say, why are you paying so much? It's just wine. Well, maybe after the first bottle, it's just wine because you got a buzz. Think about it that way. But if you're enjoying it, pairing it, enjoying the flavors, it's not to drink. It's to enjoy. And so, yeah, that's how I've progressed. And where this gentleman goes to Italy every year, which makes me think, like, darn, maybe I need to get over there in April of next year. But going out to California wine country, yeah, that's a yearly thing for me now. So it's a bigger commitment to go to Verona every year. Think about that. That is a lot more than a hop, skip, and a jump across a pond.
I would like to go there. I bet you they have a bunch of Romeo and Juliet stuff. Now, I've been working on how to tie in some of the truths and, you know, because a lot of this stuff is universal. Things you learn growing grapes, producing wine, and how that overlaps with the financial world. And, look, these are some rough ideas, but I was throwing them at you earlier today. You can go ahead and make fun of me if this is bad. But I was thinking Roth IRAs when we're talking about Roth.
Yeah.
One of the examples you often use is, if you're a farmer, would you rather pay tax on the seed for your corn, or would you rather pay the taxes on the harvest? And that's a great example of the difference between a Roth IRA and a regular IRA, or a Roth 401k and a regular 401k. So in the grape world,
we'd rather pay tax on the vine instead of the wine.
Is that the best one? What about the grape?
But you think
the
on
wine?
It. If you're or paying, look, you pay tax. Compare it to a Roth. Okay, I'm paying tax on the contribution. And let's say I do have unlimited time, and let's say I can double the money every 12 years. What's that? 6%. So if say I can double it every 12 years, so I'm in my early 30s, so I could triple up. So I pay tax on the one time that block of money. Say it's $100,000, and I get to double it multiple times through my life. It's not just double once, it keeps producing more tax-free money. So if you compare it to the vine, what does it keep producing? Seasons of grapes that are turned into wine. It's a great comparison.
Because then you don't just miss the taxes on the grapes from this year, you also miss it on next year, next year.
Yeah, when it there's no limit to how much I can grow that Roth IRA account.
All right, now,
it's not, you can only double it once. No, there is no cap.
All right, well, let's keep exercising this metaphor here. What do you call it when someone accepts your worldview when it comes to Roth and they decide to participate in the magic that is or that can be a Roth IRA? What do you call it? Drinking the Roth what?
Roth wine.
Well, it was the Roth Kool-Aid.
But actually, I've had a bottle of Roth. That is a winery. Roth winery.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah,
didn't we
actually,
send that to each other?
I sent you a picture of it. Didn't I give you a bottle of it? If not, I've got to work that out with you.
Yeah, I remember you sending me the picture, but I'll take a bottle. We've got to continue with the research. I don't think I'm doing my part, actually. I probably should start pounding it on the break. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995.
Rothwinery.com.
Oh, it's that easy?
Yeah.
I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Thanks for listening to Winning It Life. By doing so, you have joined an elite demographic of people who tend to be more successful in their careers, have higher levels of education, and are generally winners. James Parker here. Wouldn't you like to get the message out about your awesome business to tens of thousands of other winners 6 days a week from Baton Rouge to Pensacola? Be on the winning team. Ask me about advertising, reasonable rates, a handsome spokesman, and an army of winners. Email james@gregoryricks.com.
Gregory Ricks here. I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. They have a fun go-kart track, racing school, a 2.7-mile race course. And yeah, there's crazy guys on motorcycles. Hang off a bike, scrape some knees in the turns. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
Winning at Life invites you to our Women and Wealth event, Thursday, November 2nd, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. This women's only event will include a unique dining experience of wine tasting paired with the presented Ruth's Chris menu. In addition to this educational food and wine experience, you will also meet the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all your retirement needs. Reserve your seat today, 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or GregoryRicks.com.
Hey, James, I understand we have a problem. What's going on with pasta and pacini?
Well, we're still having it. We're still doing our broadcast live on Friday, we're good.
What's the problem? We had a good promo run.
They ran out of tickets. It sold out.
Oh, bummer. Can they still help?
Yeah, actually, you can participate in the auction without actually going to the event. Bid on items, get great deals. There's a link to the auction on JPAS.org. Follow them on Facebook or call 504-885-2000.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
And we've been talking about this for a while. This is like the banking industry is going to become the Walking Dead, or maybe already. Actually, it's millennials that's going to bring them to their knees. Look, when I was younger, went in banks all the time. I'm trying to think, when have I last been in a bank? But you think about millennials or younger. Millennials are now turning 30. Have they ever been in banks? You know, maybe one of the tests is to go into a bank and see if anybody else is there besides the people behind the counter. You think about it, millennials are not going to connect with the bank, so that means everybody behind them isn't either. The boomers is the last cattle call for them.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
You've been saying you need to get it together. Time to call Gregory. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back to Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. This is live Financial Talk Radio. Hey, we'll even talk a little bit of wine, but this is live Financial Talk. So if you want to talk about that lump sum pension, maybe that IRA, maybe that Roth. We had a good conversation about that before the break. Could be those mutual funds versus exchange-traded funds. The phone number is 504-260-0995. You know, well, a lot of people, you know, just a pickup from that song that was just playing as we came back on there, we're going to live forever. I know young people think like that, but you need to maybe think about that towards retirement, because you're going to live longer than you think. And when we are discussing retirement and the timeline, and somebody's retiring at 60, you know, we're kind of saying, you're needing to plan for retirement. You know, how long's retirement? Another 30, 35 years. They said, well, heck, I didn't work that long to build this money up. I said, yeah, but see, you don't know when your end date is. And the problem, if you want to call it a problem, everybody's living longer. Life expectancy is increasing. So you have to plan that way. Don't just, well, I'm not going to be around. You just don't know. I was watching on Fox Business. They were talking about this gene therapy teaching our cells to react to cancer differently. Instead of being passive about it, I'll just put it in a simple terms. They're going to teach our us genetically, our cells, to go kick cancer's butt, if you want to put it that way. Did you see that this morning, James?
Yeah, and this all happens the way most evolution has happened. It mutated at first, turned out to have a positive trait, and since that positive trait actually helps its host, scientists were able to sort of accelerate that process, isolate it, and they're trying to sort of teach. I know that's the wrong word, but without being able to isolate what gene actually did it for sure and be able to pick and choose with zipping up with the protease enzymes and whatnot, they're just sort of inbreeding it with other white cells and trying to get them to adopt wherever that DNA came from. And they hadn't had too much luck, but a little bit of luck, like this much luck.
Yeah, some of them were picking up that jujitsu. You know?
Well, it's cool because it's the white blood cells. These cells are actually programmed, and they're supposed to find, you know, mal cells, bad cells, and go attack those guys. And
Gilead, that's one of the stocks they mentioned that was kind of involved in that. And they were just talking about it. It's major, major breakthrough. A lot of work to be done, but when you get things going the right way, knock that dude out. It eliminates a lot of health problems.
You're right. That was Gilead.
Yeah.
I didn't remember the name of the company.
Gotta listen.
Well, look, I listen. I just can't commit it all to memory.
I can't either. You actually answered a question for me that John Fund kind of brought up this morning on the show, and he has something to do with the National Review, but you helped me out because I've like caught the tail end of that, and that was good, and I brought your attention to a couple other topics we're going to talk about on the show tonight. Hey, on that ladies event coming up, if you want to register and bring a friend, it's going to be fun. Learn some stuff about your money, retirement, income planning, how to see where you are along the path and keep up with it along the path. And we're going to have some great food, pair it with some wine, maybe get you a glass of sparkling when you come into the event. 504, the office number is 504-832-9200. Or go to gregoryricks.com and RSVP. There's a fee that's going to go to charity. I'm going to match it. But make sure you get an confirmed RSVP for the event. It's going to be awesome.
See, and that's sort of a concern that is growing on me the older I get. I have a great-grandmother that made it to about 90 on my mom's side. And on my dad's side, his mom made it to about 90 as well. But think of what health was like. My grandmother drank out of a cistern in rural Kentucky when she was growing up. My great-grandmother was even older than her.
Well, think about them. When they wanted some fried chicken, what'd they cook it in back in the day?
Lard.
Fat.
Yeah.
Yeah, fat. Lard, it's a nice word for fat.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we don't do that anymore.
Kind of jealous. But look, and it's something I've been giggling about lately in the Netflix show F is for Family. Bill Burr has like a recreation of his childhood in it, and this is set in the early 70s, and their health was just unbelievable. One of the things in the show that he keeps revisiting is the complete lack of standards for health and safety. You know, there's no such thing as a bicycle helmet, but also there were people at their desks just eating multiple cheeseburgers, drinking gigantic sodas, and I don't mean the diet kind with aspartame. I mean that full-blown sugar before they even had the high-fructose stuff. And, you know, smoking a cigarette constantly. And everyone's smoking everywhere, indoors, outdoors. And that was just in the early 70s. So, listen, we've come out of that quite a bit, especially in the last 30, 40 years. We should live to 100. We should, that should be like almost a normal thing. You know, that's kind of, that should be the goal. This isn't, 100's not going to be, pretty soon 100's not going to be, wow, they really made it old. They're like, it's a good age. It's a good age to go.
Well, look, when I was a little kid, I think, what, was 40 considered over the hill?
They had balloons 40 over the hill. Now they still have balloons 40 over the hill because it's a joke.
It's a joke.
Yeah, because I got a 2-year-old. Thank you very much.
And but here's the change. Like somebody passes at 60, it's like, what?
Yeah, what happened? Car wreck?
Yeah, he died young.
When what's that age now though? And for the 2017 era, I think it's 80. If someone dies at 70, you still kind of question it. Well, he died at 70. You don't say, oh, well, he lived a great life or natural causes, I assume.
He wasn't. The immediate reaction is like, it's still like, it's, maybe it's not as, wow, really? You're kind of like, wow. I'm surprised.
What's the cutoff when you stop asking how it happened? 90? Someone dies past 90.
I guess it would be into the 80s. You kind of say, you just kind of get it. Yeah.
I still question that, right?
Yeah, it gets to where you can, but also you have that sense is, had a good life, lived a long time. But it's almost that pause there to where you move up. Now somebody make it to 90 and pass was like, wow, in a good way.
Well, my grandmother that made it about to 90, she did not run out of money in retirement, and it wasn't. I don't want to say it was easy, but I'm saying compared to what other situations I've seen, boy, that wasn't so bad. She had an assisted living facility. She wasn't in a full-blown nursing home. So it was sort of like living in a hotel with a bunch of ramps. They had the, you know, their little social stuff, and she had friends, and the cafeteria was pretty good, and it was all indoors. And, you know, living that long, if you're comfortable, that's kind of nice. I don't want to say who I saw go the Medicaid route and be in one of these homes where they just put you in there and it's basically the poorhouse. That's not how you want to go out. Was it called the lifestyle you were accustomed to?
Yeah, and I don't know. Had a story come up a while back. Bothers me a little bit. It's I'll just put it, somebody I know, and they've reached the point of slowing down. And the money this person has is because this person saved it. It wasn't left from them. Their spouse died young. Didn't do the spousal continuation thing or anything. And if they hadn't have saved on their own and done the right things, just depending on that pension and, oh, we look out for each other, it wouldn't have been that way. But then you're living through retirement and not always, and you think you're getting along with the kids, and there's a few kids, a couple of them got along with, one didn't like want to talk to you much, and okay, that's it, that's life. But all of a sudden you've been alone for a while, then you get a friend as well, and then all of a sudden you start slowing. And you did something a long time ago that you now regret, is one of those kids, POA, power of attorney. And I'm not sure, are we watching out for the money or worrying about the inheritance getting spent? Or are we looking out for that parent? And being there across the country, I don't feel it's looking out for the parent.
Ouch. All right, financial situations, not quite sure what to do. Let's see if we can get you some answers. We don't mind helping you out here. 504-260-0995. That's 504-260-0995. We'll do the numbers next. If you want to play along, go to GregoryRicks.com. Look for the numbers page. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Life invites you to our Women and Wealth event, Thursday, November 2nd, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. This women's only event will include a unique dining experience of wine tasting paired with the presented Ruth's Chris menu. In addition to this educational food and wine experience, you will also meet the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all your retirement needs. Reserve your seat today, 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or GregoryRicks.com.
Mortgage Gumbo with your chef, Dwayne Stein.
So folks listening, you come to me and you go, hey, I already got 5%. Well, mom and dad gave me 5%, but I still want to take advantage of, I want to go with CAFA. Put the 5% down and let's use the grant program to buy out your private mortgage insurance.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein this Saturday at 1 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Dwayne Stein of Mortgage Gumbo.
That's where Greg's genius comes in, is just knowing to put professionals all in an environment to give the listeners of this show, and knowing that they have a platform and they can get questions.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, GregoryRicks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The National Council on Aging is the nation's leader of helping people 60 years and older meet the challenges of aging. They partner with nonprofit organizations, government, and businesses to provide services such as utility bill assistance, wellness and nutrition options, and many other everyday tasks that get more difficult with age. For more information on the National Council on Aging, call or visit your local branch. The Jefferson Council on Aging, 6620 Riverside Drive, Suite 216, Metairie, Louisiana, 504-888-5880.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in the back of your closet. What happened to us? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Okay, maybe I never really fit you right, but I got a lot more Sunday fun days left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com.
And I don't know why you don't take me downtown like you got anywhere better to be. Talk it up and give me the go round round like a good time tease.
Big enough to deliver, small enough to care. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
I don't know why you don't take me downtown anymore.
Hey, this is Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. This is the Daily Wrap, live financial talk that we do every evening at 7. If we get preempted, you know we're on the iHeartRadio stream. If you miss us, our podcasts are on the iHeartRadio stream. Download that iHeartRadio app. It is the bomb. I love building up my playlist and hearing new songs and adding to it. And then, of course, I can go check out my recordings of shows or type, what did I say about that? Just got to type in my name and it pulls it up, or the show's name, Winning at Life. But you can do that on iTunes as well, or go to gregoryricks.com. Yes, we have a place for that there as well. If you'd like to participate in the show, we're waiting. And everybody else is. They want to hear your questions so they can learn from it. 504-260-0995. When I was finishing up break, telling you a little story there, and I'm not going to continue with that story, but what I'm basically getting at is you need to be on top of these POAs, instructions. If it's a revocable trust, if it's irrevocable, you need to think about how these things play out, because I see too many times when they think the money's going to get on the table or is on the table or going to be on the table in a few years, everything's good until then. I know. I hear you, and I've heard this before. Oh, we get along great. It's not going to be a problem. We hope not, but more than often, it is. So you need to think about this process, and when you've done it, you need to think about it again and how you're being looked out for, because it goes back to that phrase James brought up that I like to use in the first segment, is going out in the lifestyle you're accustomed to. And this money you've built up, it is your money. And those kids with parents with money listening, it's your parents' money. And the purpose for it is for them to live the lifestyle they're accustomed to and to pay for those medical costs. And I more often than not have people come in like, oh my gosh, how do we stop the government from taking the money? What do you mean, government? Who's taking the money? You know, when they get sick, they start taking the money. When you put them in a home, they take the money. No, they don't take the money. Medicare only pays for so many health days in the hospital and rehab facility and such. When you run out of days, you know, it's a health. Medicare is a health insurance policy paid for by the government, by the which means by us, the taxpayers.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And your coverage does have limitations. So when it runs out, if you don't have money, meaning more than $2,500, Medicaid kicks in, and they're going to put you and treat you based on how Medicaid wants to do that. James, do you want to live your life accustomed to Medicaid?
No, I've seen it. I've seen it.
I have too. That's why we build up and have money for that time. It's why your parents have money. Folks that are retired, explain this to your kids. Money's for you to go out in the lifestyle you're accustomed to. And sometimes I'll get into a meeting, I'll explain it, that you might be prepared for some of this money to be spent because this money's to take care of your parents. Or parents, this money's to take care of you. You may, I know you want to leave it behind, but you may not. Because you don't know how long you're going to live. You don't know how much medical costs are. And if you have Alzheimer's, you're going to run out of Medicare days. And if you have money, what does it mean? The government's not taking it. The insurance expired. You will have to pick up the bill. Nobody's taking it. Now, if it's, say, on the Medicaid side, they don't have money, or once you've gone through your money, then, yeah, Medicaid pays up, and I hope that doesn't happen. And that home you were wanting to leave to the kids, yeah, Medicaid's probably going to go after that house because you didn't have enough money to pay the bills, and they weren't going to take your house from you until you're dead. Just understand conceptually what's going on here is Medicare is an insurance policy paid for by the taxpayers, and it has limitations. If you don't know what they are, find out about it. And look, if you're thinking about, oh, we got to do something with this money, we got to move it, we got to hide it, there's a 5-year look back. And if they catch you hiding it within that 5-year period of it's being needed, you're going to have to pay the bills because they're not paying it. So you need to think about all this. I was speaking with a colleague the other day, and that's what I said. We've seen this before. And I said, you know what? I'm going to see this a lot more, and it just saddens me. Makes my job really tough. Really tough.
Yeah, these homes, you know, I'll make a deal with my parents right now. Whatever happens, if possible, if you have a medical emergency or you need some assistance, you can come sleep in my bed and I'll sleep on the couch for the remainder of your days if that's what it takes. But it's more than that. There's some things that I just can't handle at home. If they have Alzheimer's, I don't have the facilities for that. You know, even if I had a dialysis machine or something that was needed like that, I couldn't use it. So sometimes it's even out of your control, even if you don't want to. The only option you would have is if you have that money. And so, look, I'm more worried about the other way. I'm more worried about when I'm in that position that I would be embarrassed to impose on my kids and grandkids like that. I would be embarrassed as a man to have to force them to divert resources instead of going to my grandkids' college or putting them up for their first down payment for a house. They got to take care of me. That would be embarrassing.
That's why you want to have money and you want it to grow through retirement so that you can go out in the lifestyle you're accustomed to and not be a burden is what you're saying. That little phrase right there, you don't want to be a burden. When we have the means, and that's what the money's for. It's not to hide or shift or, oh, how do we keep it? Hey, if you're fortunate, you leave money behind. So it'd be awesome to leave that, but you might not leave as much as you think.
All right, so if you're thinking about coming to our next live event, November 2nd, women only, 504-832-9200 is the office number. If you didn't get to write that down, go to GregoryRicks.com or get the app.
The number.
Whew. enough heavy stuff. Let's look at some numbers. Because
sorry about that.
That's all right.
You know, this stuff, and we have to think about it.
Well, something we call the real world, but also happening in the real world. Was history set again? Yeah, I think this is the 50th. Am I correct here, Gregory? Is this the 50th record close since the election here? The Dow Jones Industrial, they stayed above 23,000. But did you look at the chart? It opened down, and it stayed down, and it creeped slowly back up. It was a slow slope to get back up in about the last hour or so. It got kind of close to even and then sputtered around. And at the very end, it just leaped across the finish line like those Olympic runners, you know, how they do that last little...
The conversation we had at the office this morning, we were looking at trades and market decisions and stuff in the morning. And that's actually what I kind of said this morning. I said, watch it. This it's going to finish up. It's going to move up throughout the day. And then when I check back in after, I said, yeah, pretty much it worked its way up through the day and ended up positive. Crazy.
It wasn't all history making day. It's a little bit of mix in there. That's all. I'm still pumped it stayed above 23,000. Part of me was expecting it to just retreat the very next day because it's getting kind of ridiculous.
Well, that wouldn't have been unreasonable with the past few days, the amount of run up we've had, for it to finish down a bit, it, you know, taking a little breather before it continues on upward.
Well, the S&P was about flat. It was up 0.84 points today. So technically there's history there, but that's a sideways move. NASDAQ, though, it had to give back a little. It was down 0.3%. The Russell was down 0.2%. Oh, I didn't say the big number. 23,163.04. That's where your new all-time high in the Dow is.
Yeah, the bond market kind of all over the place. Well, speaking of 10-year treasuries, they're looking at, it was not much change in them today, but they took a pretty good dip midday as well. So we're looking at a finish of 2.320% on the 10-year treasuries, and we'll jump over here to the 30-year mortgages. And we're still under 4. We're at 3.90. So we're just kind of seeing a little bit of like a tick up almost every day there as it's kind of working its way back up. But 30-year mortgage fixed a week ago, 3.90. So when it's all said and done, we've had a flat week.
We got to continue the numbers.
And we got to take a break.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Winning at life than making a bunch of money. It's also about finding something you love doing. Gregory Ricks here. For me, I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. If you like going fast on anything with wheels, this is the amusement park. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
Winning at Life invites you to our Women and Wealth event, Thursday, November 2nd, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. This women's only event will include a unique dining experience of wine tasting paired with the presented Ruth's Chris menu. In addition to this educational food and wine experience, you will also meet the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all your retirement needs. Reserve your seat today, 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
Hey, James, I understand we have a problem. What's going on with pasta and pacini?
Well, we're still having it. We're still doing our broadcast live on Friday,
good. What's the problem? We had a good promo run.
They ran out of tickets. It sold out.
Oh, bummer. Can they still help?
Yeah, actually, you can participate in the auction without actually going to the event. Bid on items, get great deals. There's a link to the auction on jpas.org. Follow them on Facebook or call 504-885-2000. Gregory Ricks & Associates is Louisiana's 401k and retirement authority. We're a registered investment advisory firm handling everything from tax strategies, personal investing, to estate planning and retirement planning.
If you're interested in getting a stress test, how will your portfolio respond to, say, the dollar crashing or a China slowdown? How would your portfolio respond to that?
504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Infinite banking. What's your take on that?
You know, the guy that actually came up with the concept is Nelson Nash. But it is building up cash value inside of a whole life policy. And then when you're wanting to go buy your car or remodel your kitchen, you're borrowing from yourself and paying yourself back as if it was the bank. You want to treat it as an investment, but the IRS wants it to still act like a life insurance policy to make sure it works. So you have these mechs that you have to make sure you're not overfunding it. The concept works, but also it's not for everybody because you have to have money to push into it.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Daily dose of financial wisdom. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Hey, welcome back. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Ladies, we have an event for you coming up November 2nd. It's a wine pairing, and there will be some financial education thrown in there, but it really is a financial first date, and we're going to have a fun little social setting by which you can learn more about what we can do for you and find out if you're right for us and all that good stuff. November 2nd, 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris in Metairie. Come on out. Get your first foot forward in your new financial future, but you got to take that first step yourself. RSVP at the website, gregoryricks.com. Download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app or the office number, 504-832-9200. Another programming note. For our listeners on News Talk 104.9, we will be preempted tomorrow again for some high school football action. You can catch us on our sister station, WRNO. You know, a good chunk of our listening audience for 104.9 can also pick us up on 99.5. For those of you who cannot, it's basically from about the middle of Biloxi East. If you can't, go to the iHeartRadio app and look for WRNO. Or look, if you want to take a shortcut, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, and you can do it that way as well. All right, we had some fun audio on Maria Bartiromo this morning, where Dave Stockman, former advisor to President Reagan, and he is probably the titular head of the supply-side economics regime. He was on, and this was kind of weird because most of the time we see David Stockman and Maria Bartiromo cross from each other on a table. They agree, or at least they sound like they're on the same team. But Maria had a couple of her friends with her, and it looked like they were ganging up on old Stockman. And part of it was David Stockman is pretty pessimistic about the odds that we're going to get any significant tax reform this year.
I think the notion that we're going to have a big, big tax cut is a pipe dream. They can't pay for it, and we're in a different environment today than we were in 1981. 1981, the debt was only $940 billion. It was 30% of GDP. There was plenty of room to have a giant tax cut that was paid for by borrowing. Today, they have to find pay-fors, loopholes, base broadeners. They can't find any. Even the state and local tax savings, which allegedly was $1.3 trillion over 10 years, is falling by the wayside day by day.
I think they're
going to end up with no tax bill or one that is so modest or so minor that it will have very little impact on the economy.
Right now, if you got to take a side, are you with Stockman or are you with Bartiromo?
I'm with Stockman.
I'm with Stockman on this one, too.
Because they have to pay for it now.
So stupid. How can a rule that was literally passed to keep you from exploding the deficit is now the excuse to keep you from shrinking it or from, anyway, cutting taxes? That's just, ugh. But he's right. Look, this little thing where they're talking about, oh, it's a giveaway to millionaires and billionaires. Well, look, about 95% of the people who are going to get a cut are not millionaires and billionaires, if not higher. And they're the only people paying in to the income tax system. So that's the only people that can get a cut. And it's only going from, what, 39% to 35% or something? Ooh, what a gift.
What about the tax brackets that he spoke of? Did you have that clip?
No one knows. I do have that clip, but no one knows where the brackets are going to be.
Here, but I like this comment because that's something I've been saying.
All right, let's go to the next one, though, because he has asked, do you even believe we need a tax cut? Because he's saying, look, these little tax cuts, this corporate tax cut and this tax cut to the wealthy, it's going to be so minimal, it's not going to do anything. They're like, well, do you think tax cuts are even a good idea?
Do you believe we need a tax cut and they just can't find the place to get
that's
the cut
good,
from?
That's a good question.
I absolutely believe we need a payroll tax cut that will take the burden off 160 million payroll taxpayers, particularly in the middle and lower end, that are getting hit for 15.5% employer-employee. That's the job killer.
Now, I agree, but he is starting to lose me just a little bit here. What was all that? Well, we're not going to be able to pay for it stuff. You can't pay for a payroll tax either.
Nobody's just talking about the impact on taxpayers. And one thing I was getting at with the brackets is three brackets or four. So, yeah, some people are going to get their taxes reduced. Some people are getting their taxes bumped up because you don't know how you're going to fall in the brackets. And it's not affecting everybody positive.
All right, here's what we're talking about.
The thing is, he's like they're telling the truth. And they're like, oh, yeah, I know, but we don't want to hear it right now. Things are good.
But he's saying this is a middle-class tax cut.
It isn't. It's a lie.
12%, 25%, 35%.
Yeah, it's a lie. It depends on where they put the brackets. They didn't even say. These people are total fakes. I've never seen anything that was as content-free, as substanceless as this nine-pager that came out. Remember what happened in the Reagan time.
Right.
We put out our plan in February, our tax bill in March. The budget passed in April and May. They were writing the tax bill in June. Reagan signed it August 13th.
Go ahead.
I thought he had another good half-hour material, and that was it
and
for
they,
him
they were
on
cutting
that
him off.
Segment. It's like, oh, done. You're like, you're a downer today.
Look, there's a bunch of question marks here, but that is not the most vapid, vague thing we've ever seen come out of D.C. And you can hear him sort of get a little emotional. He leaves the realm of logic. There's a little element of butthurt in there because, you know, his regime is so often compared to this regime because he was in the Reagan group. And you can tell he is not a Trump fan at all, and he was calling Mnuchin a liar. Because they had played a clip from him earlier, but he might as well have been calling Trump a liar. Here's what I like, though, the term... Oh, I'm sorry, your reaction to any of that?
I'm good.
Okay. The term quantitative tightening has made its appearance. And Stockman's saying, this is all based on the central bank, something we've said on this show.
Do you not think things are getting better? Do you not think there's fundamental strength in the backdrop for the
government? No, I do not. I think we're 100 months into this expansion, the third longest in history. There are headwinds all around the world. Mainly, the central banks are going to go into QT, quantitative tightening, in a sequence over the next 3 or 4 years, fundamentally different than the last 30
years. Yeah, but they're doing that.
Yeah, it's going to shift from us to globally, pushing interest rates up. And you and I talked about this before the show today, is what's going to happen when you have the world's central banks all start tightening. And you say, well, they'll be unloading treasuries and those types of securities. No, it's the other assets that they're going to start releasing. And part of it, I was justifying that, you know what, all these stocks that they're buying, why would they ever sell them? Because I started reasoning, because it'd be ugly if they started the selling part along with whoever's selling here. And, oh my God, that'd be ugly. But, oh, they're using it to prop up their current. So why would they ever sell it? But if they did, but here's why the Fed said, because you and I've talked about, well, why do they actually need to unwind? And I believe it's David that mentioned it, is they have to get powder for the next time they need it.
Yeah, that's what this all feels like, is they've got to get rid of this so they can do some quantitative easing on the other side. They're only raising these rates so they can lower them in the next emergency session. That's a very specious way to, you know, devise your statecraft. But it's kind of hard to argue against that. And it feels kind of weird that I'm not agreeing with Maria Bartiromo on this one. I'm sort of leaning towards Stockton. Or Stockman.
He made some great points. Maybe there's a little emotional there, but valid points that you really have to think about. And yeah, and he finally answered for me, because I bring that up a lot. Like, well, just hold it. If things keep going good, but if things don't keep going bad, what, we're going to have $10 trillion on their balance sheet? I don't know. Why not?
What happens, though, when they start unloading it? Because once, if it happens, and once they do start throwing them into the market, you start selling all these stocks, and we're talking about to the tunes of tens of billions, hundreds of billions, maybe even trillions of dollars worth of stock. What's that going to do to the price of stocks generally? You have a vast increase of supply, and you're going to have the same demand. It's going to drive the prices down.
Yeah. It's got to be a buyer on the other side for it to go up. It's got to be a willing buyer to pay more.
Okay, so at the same time, they're going to be sucking money out of circulation because they're trading it.
That is the purpose, is to take the money out.
So now if your dollar's stronger and it's deflationary while the stock price is going down, it's going to be this downward spiral. The more money you take out, the lower the prices go, but also the more you'll be able to buy per dollar, so that'll drive the prices even lower.
Yeah. Deflation.
Quantitative tightening is going to be a fun experiment to watch blow up right in front of our face.
Ian, what did I tell you earlier? Nobody's ever done this. Ever. Gonna be interesting.
All right, we're live at Pasta and Pacini tomorrow. If you want to participate vicariously through the website...